Good morning, and welcome to our Advent worship service. We begin our service with the prayer to our Lord and God. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have made your light shine in this world of darkness when your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to save us. May you enlighten our hearts by your word of grace as we come before you in worship and praise. Fill our hearts with your love and grace and give us the confidence of your continued presence. Amen. Our first hymn is found on page 2 of the bulletin, O Come, Emmanuel. Please stand. We follow the order of service that's found in the bulletin starting in the top of page 3. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is the light of the world, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In this Advent season, we celebrate the coming of Jesus, the light of the world. Dear Jesus, we celebrate your coming at your birth in Bethlehem. We thank you for coming into our hearts by your gift of faith. And we look forward to your coming on the last day when you will take us and all believers to be with you forever in heaven. As we meditate on your manger, your cross, your empty tomb, and your word, we come before your throne today, confessing our sins and asking for your forgiveness. Lord of heaven and earth, forgive us all our sins as we see the world in darkness and in need of your light. Increase our faith, love, courage, and strength. Give us your power to be lights in this world, reflecting your love. Amen. Our Heavenly Father has been good and merciful to us. In his love, he has given us, his children, the greatest gift. He sent his Son Jesus, the Christ child, whose birth in Bethlehem so long ago we celebrate. Jesus came as a lowly servant to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. By his shed blood on the cross, we are forgiven. In peace and joy, let us sing of our salvation. Pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading from Scripture is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. We find that Paul writes to the Thessalonian Christians and to us that it is his hope that all believers would be strengthened in their faith and love so that we would all be ready when Jesus comes suddenly on the last day. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect, that is, make more complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, the only way we're going to be found blameless when Jesus comes is through faith in our Savior Jesus. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In the Gospels, we find them write of the coming judgment and destruction of Jerusalem. And then, off in the distance, he also projects to Jesus' return on the last day to judge the world. So think of that in this perspective as we read this prophecy. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are all already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please stand. We join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed and Luther's explanation to it. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be his very own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy, just as he is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Come Thou Precious Ransom, Come. Please stand. Grace and peace be multiplied to you from our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus. Amen. The stories of God that we consider this morning are taken from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So far, our text. Please be seated. In the name of the Christ child, whose name is a source of great joy, peace, and hope, dear fellow redeemed. What's in a name? In answer to this question, Juliet, that well-known play written by William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, well, she indicated a name really isn't very important or meaningful. However, the writings of Holy Scripture impress upon us when it comes to the name of the various names of our Lord and Christ, Jesus, that's very meaningful and special and important. And when you study Scripture, there's a lot of different names that are given to Jesus, and there's special meaning behind each of those names. So contrary to what Juliet thought about the significance of family names, they also can be very significant and important. When a husband and wife are blessed with the gift of a child, they give that child their name. And according to our custom, it's the last name of the husband and wife. And by giving their child this particular name, loving parents are acknowledging gladly that they're accepting this precious gift of God and that they're going to do all that they can to take care of that child. And how very important it is for children to know that they have loving parents who always have the uppermost concern for their children. They want the best for them. On the other hand, it's a grievous and sorrowful experience for children to be brought into this world by so-called parents who, shortly after the child is born, they just abandon or forsake the child, or they abuse and mistreat the child. Under such dreadful circumstances, offspring experience the feeling of fear and being unloved. But then again, there are loving parents who adopt abandoned children or orphaned in some way. And like with a birth child, those parents give that child their name. They're saying, this child is our child that God has given to us, and we're going to take good care of this child. There's another scenario concerning family matters and the giving of a name that is even greater significance. It involves a multitude of people across the world for every generation of time. And it has extremely important bearing on their earthly existence going on into eternity. I'm speaking of Jesus' promise of coming into this world to make it possible for sinners like you and me to be adopted into the family of God and be given His very special name. In the Old Testament times, the prophet Jeremiah recorded a divine prophecy that foretold this special event. From the opening words of our scripture text, we read of that divine promise of Jesus' first coming. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform the good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness." With this prophecy, Jeremiah was foretelling that the promised Christ would be coming from the family tree of King David. And he would be, in a sense, bringing forth as a branch. Now, when you study the Hebrew behind that word branch, it's not talking about a twig or a sprout. It's talking about a new growth that comes up from the ground or from established roots, which when it grows up, it is a new tree. In other words, when Jesus would come from the family roots of David, it was not for the purpose of carrying on the long family line of David that went back centuries of time. Instead, the purpose for coming would be to establish a new and very special family tree of countless souls all over the world. This would be the family of God that would spring forth from Jesus, the branch, not just a twig or a sprout, but a tree from which we would come forth as a part of his family. When speaking of the family of God, oftentimes we hear individuals saying that everyone is a child of God. Maybe you heard that. Because they say, well, a creator God has created us all. Contrary to this popular belief, we have learned from the Bible that since everyone is born in sin, we are not by nature a part of God's family. We find the Word of God using such expressions as, for us born in sin, aliens, foreigners, strangers, not a people of God, or without God, to reveal that we are not by nature a part of God's household. In these troubled times for the human family, where in many cases children are born to unloving, uncaring, and even hostile living environments, greater by far is the love. Oh, no, I missed the line of thought there. Far worse is that of when we come into this world born in sin, we're not a part of God's family, we're born into the family of the devil. And that's far worse than even being born to unloving parents. For being born in this way, we have this natural feeling of fear, worry, guilt, anxiety, discontent, greed, lust, or with a gnawing, hateful, and angry spirit with no hope of deliverance in sight. And they're faced with a dreadful judgment in the world to come. If they're not brought to faith in Christ, they're faced with an eternity being tormented by the devil and his evil angels in hell. So, this is far worse than being born to unloving parents. This is being born as a part of the family of the devil. We're reminded by Old Testament prophecies, like the one found in the book of Jeremiah, that our loving, compassionate, and merciful Creator God promised to send his Son Jesus to rescue us and deliver us from the family of Satan. The Apostle Paul speaks of the fulfillment of this prophecy in his letter to the Galatians. "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." In the Gospel of John, we see further witness of being adopted in God's holy family. "But as many as have received him," namely Jesus Christ, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who are adopted into the family of God, they are given the family name of God. The book of Isaiah, the Lord foretold his giving of a new name to the church of believers. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. The wonderful truth that believers in Christ will be given a new name, his name, is brought out in today's scripture text with these words. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. You know, when I first read this, this doesn't sound quite right. That's not the way I remember Jeremiah talking about the one who would be called the Lord our righteousness. The way I remember it, the name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness, and not by the name by which she will be called the Lord our righteousness. You know, after further study, I came to realize Jeremiah, in two different places in his book, is talking about very similar things, only there's a difference. In one is talking about he is the Lord our righteousness. In another reference, what we have before us today, is she will be the Lord our righteousness. Now, I want you to open up your bulletins, please. And I want you to follow along where you have there in the bulletin, Jeremiah 33, verses 15 and 16. And I'll read for you a prophecy that's found in chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. And see the similarities and the difference. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. You see how similar they are? And yet, in a minor way, there is a difference. In the one prophecy, it speaks of he as the Lord our righteousness, and the one before us today is she is the Lord our righteousness. Now, this is not an indication that the scriptures are contradicting themselves, nor is it appealing to the feminists who would like to have us think that the Lord is feminine in gender. No. The answer is found in this. The one reference is speaking of Jesus. He is the Lord our righteousness. And the reference before us today is she is referring to believers in Christ. As we find in other places in the Bible that God uses a feminine gender for believers. Jesus is the bridegroom, and what are we? The bride. Why are both Jesus and the church of believers given the same name, the Lord our righteousness? It is, as we said before, because believers in Christ are to be called by his name. For through faith in Jesus Christ, we're blessed with all that Jesus has done for us, for our redemption. Jesus' name, the Lord our righteousness, testifies of his divine nature as he's become, as he lived a perfect life and suffered a perfect death on the cross, he has become our righteousness before God. Our righteousness that enables us to stand approved before God. Our righteousness that enables us to be accepted into the eternal habitations of heaven. The Lord our righteousness, our name, He's our righteousness. Now, this righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, that is, credited to our account through faith in Jesus. And thus the Bible said of Abraham, who believed in the promised Christ, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. When the Father calls us by Jesus' name, the Lord our righteousness, he's publicly declaring that we who have fallen short of the glory of God, that he's not ashamed of calling himself our God. He's not ashamed of calling us our children, his children. The book of Hebrews said as much as it makes this declaration concerning those Old Testament believers who died in the faith in the promised Christ who would come to redeem them. We read there, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would not have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country." Now pay attention to this. "Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." So having been blessed with this new name of Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, we know that God, our Father, he accepts us as his children, and he's going to take care of us. He's going to guard and keep us as his children in his saving grace. When we in turn acknowledge the name of Christ, the Lord our righteousness, as being our very own, we're confessing that we have no righteousness of our own that would enable us to be found acceptable to the holy God. No righteousness of our own that we could come before the throne of God in our prayers. No righteousness of our own that he would accept us into heaven. But it's Christ's righteousness that we have through faith in him that enables us to receive all these wonderful blessings. Forgiveness, God's grace and favor, and the ultimate blessing of everlasting life in heaven. Concerning this last blessing and our being called by the Lord's name, listen to these words of Jesus that are recorded in the last book of Revelation in anticipation of his second coming on the last day. He gives us these words of exhortation and encouragement. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more." Now pay attention to these words of Jesus. "And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." So as we look forward to Jesus' coming and the last and final day of this world, Jesus is urging us to ever hold fast to him by faith and the gift that we have through him, his righteousness, his gift of forgiveness, his gift of salvation. And as we persevere to the very end, we have the confidence of knowing that when he comes, he's going to say to you, "Come, you blessed of my Father, into the eternal habitations of heaven that I prepared for you from the foundations of the earth." And there, we're going to be joining all the saints of heaven. And we'll enjoy eternal existence in heaven as children of the Heavenly Father. Praise our Savior God for enabling us to be adopted into the family of God and being called by his name. Cling to him evermore by faith, so that when Jesus comes in the last day, we'll enjoy being called by his name in the eternal realms of heaven. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Seated, we continue with the next hymn found in page 8 in the bulletin. O Lord, how shall I meet you? addition to our general prayer, we received an email just recently here from missionary Peter Evenson, and this is from DePaul from India, requesting our prayers. We'd like to inform you that Cyclone Fengal, which triggered heavy rains in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh, and rains led to flooding many areas. Normal life was crippled due to heavy rains that lashed in the wake of Cyclone Fengal. Cyclone Fengal triggered heavy rainfalls and inundation of all the residential areas. Many of our pastors and our believers' houses were waterlogged, and residents couldn't step out of the dwellings. Many of the BELC pastors from Chennai and many other districts, they were shifting their families to safe places. I am to shift my family to B. Rajesh, rented house, and myself staying in our office. Many of our pastors lost their livelihoods. We request you to pray for our pastors and our families and our peoples who are affected by this cyclone. Yours in Him, DePaul. So we offer up a prayer for our fellow believers in India. And also note that very often when there are disasters in the foreign countries, that the Mission Development Fund offers money to help the recovery. So if you want to consider that in your offerings. So we pray for them as well as our general prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the one who controls all things, all according to your wisdom and plan. We see that in India, the weather conditions devastated many of our brothers and sisters in Christ, causing them to lose property and livelihood. We pray that you would watch over them and by whatever means provide for their daily needs. Above all, encourage them in the faith that you have not forsaken them, but that you're there to help them through this very difficult times. And that while they have lost things that are temporal through faith in Christ, they have not lost things eternal. Amen. Almighty God and Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, we thank and praise you for the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. As your servants in the Old Testament times looked with fervent longing for the coming of the Messiah, grant that we may eagerly and joyfully welcome him, Jesus, our Lord, our righteousness, into our hearts by faith, and thus be delivered by his might from the power of sin, death, and the devil. Dear God, lead us by your Spirit to an understanding of our great sinfulness and our need of repentance. Help us to hate evil and to love good. Strengthen us against the temptations of all our adversaries. Incline our hearts to seek righteousness and holiness so that we may serve and glorify you in every way. Send out your light to all corners of the earth, that people everywhere may know your love and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And join the multitude of your people who said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Bless all who are gathered here in your house this day and sanctify them by your word. To those among us who are afflicted in any way, to those who are in sorrow, to those who are enduring trials, to those who may be in any necessity of body or spirit, grant strength, comfort, understanding, and patience. Let them feel the warmth of your love and give them peace and joy and the abiding promise of grace through Christ. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord, who came for our deliverance, died for our salvation, rose again for our justification, and ever lives to plead for us before the majesty on high. In his name we pray, and in his name we also join in praying that prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The words of institution for the Lord's Supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. At this time, those communicants who would like to receive the Lord's Supper at the place where they're seated, please first start by taking the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for you. And now take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. May this body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true Christian faith until life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. And now those communicants that would like to receive the Lord's Supper at his altar, please come forward under the direction of the usher. Please rise. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We can conclude our service with the singing of the final hymn, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. Good morning. I hope you were blessed by being reminded that you have a new name, the Lord our righteousness. Following the service today, there will be a voters' call meeting. It will take place shortly. The children will be practicing in the classroom as soon as you are. I think that Mrs. Golarud is going to be working with you back there. The Schmidts came in the red eye real late, and so they were just shot with tiredness. So they're not able to join us today. And after all that, there will be a decorating of the church for Christmas. And since it's going to be a little bit of time before you're able to eat your big meal, there are some snacks that you can partake of in the fellowship hall. We have the regular worship service next Sunday at 10, and children's practice at 11:15, and the choir rehearsal. Also note that in your mailbox you will find the calendar for the month of December, and also the contributions for the next contribution envelopes for the next year. And please note that we have that food drive for the community of Mountain View to help folks who are in need of food. I know that you see a lot of on the street asking for handouts and so on. Well, there's a place that they can go and get food. And so if you'd like to share in offering food to them, dry goods, canned goods, and there's a big box to receive the food for that. And I think that's all. And may God in his grace be with you always.